Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, we'll begin. The title of the message is, of course, Work Out Your Own Salvation. Philippians 2, verse 12. Would you stand with me as we read from God's Word? Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Joe Hogg, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this scripture. Lord, we thank you for your love, your understanding.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Verse of scripture that I feel that we're probably very familiar with, and as such, probably not going to tell you, most of you, anything you don't already know tonight. However, I'm going to reemphasize some things that you may already know. That there's been a lot of misunderstanding concerning this verse of Scripture. A lot of people, some say that it declares that you've got to work for your salvation. And it does. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. But if you work for your salvation, it would mean God was indebted to you. Okay? And I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I want you to understand why we do not believe in salvation by works. And if you look in Romans chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." God owes us nothing. Okay? And so if it were a scripture that would encourage works for salvation, it would be contrary to everything else that's taught in the Bible. And as I said, God created us, He sustains us, He gives us all that we are. He is not indebted to us in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Still others believe that the way this is worded, it means that you've got to work out your own salvation for your own self in your own way. I've heard people tell me that before, that your salvation for you may be a little different than salvation for somebody over here or me. And that's not true either. Salvation is one way. Now, you may have been saved in a different place, but I guarantee you one thing. If you've been saved, you were saved by the grace of God, and that applies to all of us. Romans 10:13, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." You didn't work for it. You didn't earn any differently than I did. You simply had to ask for it. So why? What was Paul saying here when he said, "Work out your own salvation"? Well, that word "work out," it means to work through, or it means to thoroughly work at something. Okay? And the word was used, very interesting word, the word was used in situations like mining. If you were mining for coal or salt or whatever, and it meant to get the most out of a mine that you could possibly get out of that mine. It was used in harvest. And it meant in harvest that you gather the greatest and the most out of that harvest that you could possibly get. And that is literally what Paul is saying here. He's not saying you got to work for it or you got to work through it. You get it the same way. It's by grace through faith. But he is telling us that we should work from our salvation. Working because we're saved. It's To put it in army terms, it's be all you can be, right? Be all you can be because you're saved. Most people think salvation is about missing hell. And it's not. Okay? Now, that's a wonderful benefit, amen? Hell is real and people, leave this earth without Jesus Christ, that's where they're going. But that's not what salvation's about. Salvation is about a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? And that's what we're talking about here. You know, the older I become, the more I realize that when my relationship with Jesus, when my spiritual life suffers, I suffer. Have you noticed that? When things are not right with God, things are not right. When my prayer life suffers, anybody else like this? When my prayer life suffers, I get grumpy. Do y'all do that? Is that a preacher? Yeah, that's not a preacher thing. We're all in the same boat. But you know, I've caught myself a few times at the end of the day and just mad at the world and just irritated and don't talk to me kind of mentality. And it dawns on me, the reason I don't want anybody to talk to me is because I didn't talk to the Lord in the morning. Yeah? I mean, it just works that way. When my study is not what it should be, I become very empty. And again, grumpy. You know, and it's hard to describe. But did you know I have a study problem? Do any of y'all have study problems? Okay, I have a study problem. And my problem in study is, you say, Brother Doug, you're a preacher. You always study. Yes, I study daily. But I have to be on guard or I will study to preach instead of personal study to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? And when I let that personal relationship study go, then I can tell it in my whole life. And Paul is just simply saying there are jewels, there are treasures that we have in the relationship of Jesus Christ that makes us who we are and that makes life worth living. He's saying work out your own salvation, work from your own salvation, live from the fact that you're a child of God. Whether it's prayer, whether it's study, whether it's just life in general, that it takes away a lot of the misery of life when things are right with God. You see, I have also discovered that not only when my relationship or when I'm not working from my salvation, that others suffer. And you know why that is? It's not because I'm a preacher. But it's because I'm not fulfilling what God called me to do. Does that make sense? You see, if I don't feed the sheep, guess what? We have malnourished sheep. If I don't share the gospel with others, they may never be saved. And people, you may look at me today and say, well, Brother Doug, you're a preacher. You know, that's important stuff. Yeah, if you don't do what you're called to do, then a lot of people suffer. But you know the same is true for you. You're here for a reason. I think most Christians don't get that. God has you here for a purpose. You know? And if you don't fulfill your purpose on this earth, other people will suffer. For example, if you're a mother, I can tell you, I can tell you one purpose. Your purpose is to raise those kids and to be a mother to those kids. And if you fail to point those kids toward Jesus, then they're going to suffer because of your failure. If you're a father, you're supposed to be the spiritual leader of your home. And if you fail to lead your children to Christ, they're going to suffer. And it's all a matter of working from your salvation. You see, it's not just for preachers, it's for for all of us, deacons, Sunday school teachers, and you just go on down the line, and whoever you want to pick out, we're all here with a purpose. And that purpose is to work from our salvation. He said, work from your salvation in fear and trembling. In reverence, literally, in reverence and awe. You know, that word is used to describe the anxiety of one who does not trust in his own ability. So he's saying, work from your own salvation, not trusting your own abilities. To put it in our words, realizing that the importance of your position in Christ, and if you don't do what God has called you to do, then others suffer. But you also realize that God has placed you here for a much bigger purpose than you have the ability to fulfill. But see, here's the good part. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. There's the blessed assurance. It's God that's working in you. You see, that word work, it doesn't mean just being active. It means to be effective, to be at work and to have a powerful tool. Do you realize that God has you here to work through you? You understand that? And it's not just on Sundays. It's Monday through Sunday. Every day of the week. Kind of paints this picture. This is I'm a man. Do y'all like tools? The louder the better, right? Saws and things like they're just cool. I don't know how to use most of them, but I just think they're really cool, right? I want to tell you something. You put a hammer and a saw in my hand, and you will be amazed at how absolutely incompetent I am. I'm not a builder. But if you put a hammer and a saw in the hand of a craftsman, back up and watch that dude build a house. Or watch him build whatever. And you just back up and you say, wow, that guy's good. He knows how to use the tools. You see, that's the picture that God's painting here when he says, for it is God who works in you both to do and to will His good will. It's God that has you in His hand. That's the craftsman that knows exactly how to work through you to get the most good for His kingdom, for you to have the most joy in your salvation. I mean, look around us. Let's be real. You know, most of us of ourselves, we don't have very great abilities, right? But don't you love it when God gets a hold of you and does something great? That's what we're talking about here. That's what, you know, being that tool in the hand of God. And the ultimate goal is verse 15. That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a what? A crooked and perverse generation. What is that? I don't have to tell you what a crooked and perverse generation is, do I? Let's just look around. A world without God. A world that doesn't know right from wrong. A world that preaches and declares there's no absolute truth. A world that would suggest the Bible was merely written by man. A world that says, you know, we don't need a God. Yet you look around and you look at the corruption. You look at just the condition of our society. I was amazed. I don't need to watch the news anymore. You know, and the reason I say that, I was watching one day last week, and I saw on the news, the reporters, the headlines was, did the Chicago police go too far? And they showed a tape of an 18-year-old boy who had tried to run over police cars, sideswipe police cars, and had policemen not gotten out of the way, he'd have ran over them, wound up hitting a police car head-on, jumped out of the car and run. Ultimately, the boy got shot and died. And the headline was, did the Chicago police go too far? Are you kidding me? Have we lost our mind as a society when lawlessness abounds and we declare the police to be out of bounds? That's ridiculous. What are we going to do? We've got to be a people who work from our salvation. A people whom the world, this crooked and perverse generation, can see that God is real and God does change lives. You see, here as it says, among whom you shine as lights. That word shine means to become visible. And the word lights literally mean to be radiant or brilliant. It was actually used to describe the stars that just stood out in the night. And that's what we should be as we work from our salvation, as we live because we're children of God and do the things that we do because we're children of God, that we should stand out in this corrupt and perverse world that we live in like the stars on a dark night. That's what Paul is painting. I read that and I thought, well, Lord, Paul was a sharp guy, but it reminded me I ought to be a sharp child of God too. I should make sure that the life that I live is a life that will point people toward Jesus Christ. That's why we're here, is it not? That's Paul's point. We don't work for our salvation. We work because we're saved. We don't earn. God doesn't owe us. Oh, but glory be to God that He's given us a privilege to serve Him. Isn't that great? That we have the privilege. You know, serving God is not a drudgery. You know that? It's a privilege that God would count us worthy to be a part of His kingdom. You may be here tonight, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me tell you, you need to start your life with Jesus. The Bible says, and I shared with you in the beginning, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You're a prayer away from salvation. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. We've already covered that. But you can ask for it. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You may be here tonight and you have a burden for those in your family. You know God has placed you here to reach them. Maybe you need to spend time at this altar. Whatever your spiritual need is, let's get it right here so that when we go out there, we'll be radiant, brilliant stars on a dark night so people can see Jesus. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the day. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word that reminds us who we are. And we are what we are because of You and by Your grace. Lord, we just rejoice in the great love that You have shown toward us. Help us, Lord, to work from our salvation. To work because we're saved and to show the world what a wonderful Savior You are. Lord, we do love You. And we thank You for the privilege of worship and studying Your Word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.